This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There are countless topics we could address every Friday khutbah. Topics that we are in need of in terms of a reminder, in terms of the state of the heart, in terms of the state of society, in terms of our families and relationships, in terms of ethics and morality, in terms of causes and campaigns of injustice or oppression or hardship all around the world in countless places. But of course, with limited time, we must always choose one or two topics for the sake of the betterment of our community in one way or another. And I want you to imagine, if you will, in the year 1520, approximately 500 years ago, in the year 1520, an Ottoman young man took the reins of leadership, came to the throne and became the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, and his name was Sulaiman al-Qanuni, Sulaiman the lawgiver. And in Western academia, Sulaiman the Magnificent. He was the longest ruling Sultan of the Ottoman Empire. I want you to imagine, years before that, as a child, had he taken something that we see today as simple as a plastic bag or a plastic bottle of water and got rid of it in a way that was not suitable for the environment, got rid of it by littering, got rid of it throwing it into the oceans, that it would have taken almost 500 years, if not longer, according to some studies. During our times, that same plastic bag, that same bottle of water, thrown and decomposed in the wrong way, would finally disintegrate. 500 years for a single plastic bag. And again, possibly longer. And if we think about the consumption of plastics around the world and the use of different materials around the world, almost 500 billion bottles of water globally, if not more, billions of bags just in the United States on an annual basis, if not more. And the way that they are treated, the way that we think about, the way that we are or are not mindful of these ingredients, of these chemicals, of these tools, of these supplies that we have, that oftentimes are made for comfort and convenience in one place in the world without any regard whatsoever to what it's doing to the earth, to the environment, and not just to the earth itself, to think of it as something that we are caretakers of, but to all future generations of people who live on this earth. That the ripple effect of one bad action in this world can be seen and observed 500 years later. It can be seen and observed 1,000 years later. If we think about the intertwining, the interconnectedness, al-irtibat, the tying in together of countless factors in the universe with every single moment that you are living, interacting, breathing, even sleeping, there is something of a ripple effect. And there are many things happening behind the scenes. And this is one topic that is separate from our main discussion today. That the tying in of everything in the universe and every potential ripple effect from your actions and decisions today should also give you comfort when it comes to suffering. That there are wisdoms beyond our imagination and silver linings beyond our imagination that outweigh one moment in which suffering was experienced in one place in the world. But in terms of our topic, I want you to fast forward from that incident, that moment in 1520, 500 years ago, fast forward to year 2003, in which there was the hottest heat wave in Europe for the last 500 years. 70,000 people died during that heat wave. And during that heat wave, almost 10% of the agriculture of the European Union was destroyed. Again, a source of livelihood, living, a source of benefit for people. And during a study the year after that, in looking at human activity in post-industrial societies, since the 1850s onwards, in looking at human activity, researchers concluded that our activity doubled, sometimes tripled, the risk that we would experience and the harm that we would experience with a heat wave like the one that we saw in 2003. And that's just one incident. That's one example. Today, people are looking at numerous examples around the world, and we have current events right now around the world, locally and globally, in terms of the effects of climate change and the effects of destroying the environment that we are as Muslims supposed to be preserving and caretaking. When we think about some of these risks and we say our earth is at risk, a person might wonder, someone here might wonder, someone listening might wonder, why is this topic that important that we have to address it in a Friday khutbah? And if we're not aware, we should be aware. Because it's an opportunity for us to solve a problem and to prevent something worse from happening. If you don't think the environment is something Muslims should care about, then there's something missing in your understanding of Islam. And I hope and I pray that that's not the case. That we are all aware that there are within our disciplines, our studies in terms of Islam, just in the field of ethics and morality, different disciplines that benefit from a discussion on ethics. For example, in the 9th century, some scholars started publishing writings on, this is the 3rd century of the Hijrah, started writing on ethics in the economy, economic ethics or justice. And in that same century, some of the physicians who put forth some of the groundwork and developed some of the scientific fields that we have today, again, contributions from some of the greatest Muslims of that time, wrote about medical ethics as well, amongst many other topics. The field of environmental ethics did not really fully manifest until the last 100 years. Why? Because of the damage that clearly we are causing to the environment. Why? Because of the post-industrial societies that we live in. And of course, this varies from place to place and person to person. If you go online and do some basic research, if you've never done this before, if you've never heard about this before, if you've never come across a single reference to some of the damage that we are causing to the world and to the changes in climate around the world, then look into it. That's not something that today we should be unaware of, especially as Muslim Americans. We find, for example, the rise in global temperature year after year, and that in the last 20 years, we have 17 of the 18 hottest years on record. We have almost every year in the last 2 decades, something that's happening of an extreme weather event that is clearly rising and increasing due to the, again, activities of humans around the world. And oftentimes when we talk about these examples and the warming of the oceans, the melting of the ice sheets, to the extent that Greenland and the Arctic glaciers and Antarctica are melting in a way that obviously would give a rise to sea levels and affect people in different places around the world and lead to an increase in flooding and so on and so forth, a person might again wonder, what can I possibly do? Why should I care? Why should Muslims be aware? And what can I possibly do? What is the Islamic perspective when we talk about the destruction of coral reefs, more than 50% of which were destroyed in the last 50 years, and more than 90% of which will be destroyed in the next few decades? What is the point of all of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and again, this is under the discussion on Islamic ethics and the environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that we are khulafa, caretakers, successors. It has different connotations in different places. Successors on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there are ethics when it comes to the world around us and not just human ethics or human interactions or contracts or finances or mu'amalat. Even when it comes to animals, yes, we believe that animals were created for a purpose. And every animal has its own purpose. But even then, there are conditions, there are guidelines, there are requirements, there are boundaries we cannot transgress. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us and the companions about a woman who tortured her cat until the cat died. Basically, she put the cat in a place in which the cat was not able to eat until it starved to death. She tortured the cat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished her. That's a cat, a single cat. Companions were traveling for one of the expeditions, passing by a tree, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a bird flying around him. And the companions asked, what's going on? And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who took her babies from her? Who took the live babies from this mother? Give them back to her as a rahmah for her. This is one example of many. Are there Are there examples of how to deal with animals in Islam? And do we believe that animals have a purpose and some animals can be consumed? And even then there are guidelines for the slaughtering of animals in the most merciful way possible? Yes. And of course, there's an entire discussion on the guidelines and ethics and the fiqh of pets, for example. What about the environment? The Prophet ﷺ was asked about animals and later on the environment. Is there a reward for doing good with animals? Is there a reward for being kind and just and ethical towards animals? And the Prophet ﷺ said, there is a reward in doing good to every living being. There's a reward, there's a goodness, there's an ajr for doing good to every living being. When we say we are caretakers on this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an, and again, this can be applied in many different ways. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحَهَا. Do not cause corruption. بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحَهَا, after it was fixed, after something was rectified. Do not cause corruption on the earth. And fasad here can be, yes, immorality. But oftentimes, again, due to our lack of development in environmental ethics as Muslims, when we say fasad and corruption, oftentimes our minds go to human behaviors with other human beings or between them and God. And oftentimes we forget there are rights towards other things as well, towards animals, towards the environment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about some of the harms that we experience today and the disasters and calamities and so on and so forth, it all goes back to the foundation of why we're here. Why were you created? الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life in order to test you, to see who's best in their conduct. What is the best of conduct? And why do we experience some of the things that we experience today, things that are increasing around the world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That corruption, fasad, has spread in the lands and in the sea because of what people have done, because of human free will and activity. And that's part of the test, that some of us will say, well, we're following and doing what's right. Why is there still corruption in the world and a corruption of the very earth that we live upon? It is because of human agency. And that is a part of the test. What will you do to respond to that corruption? What will you do to prevent it? What will you do so that you are not a part of it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and guide us. Allahumma ameen. We're living upon this earth, this blessing of an earth for a temporary time, but we recognize that it is a place and a home for future generations as well. And we can follow through with some actions, some principles. Number one, we should not be wasteful of any resource. Do not be wasteful with any resource. وَلَا تُسْرِفُ. Allah says, do not waste, do not be excessive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the wasteful. We're living in America, in which you can order something on your app today, on your phone today, and it'll arrive to your home within an hour. You can order something today and probably get it sooner. You order something as soon as you desire it. We're living in a hyper-consumer society in which people think that their happiness and their validation comes through that moment that you purchase something, comes through that moment you walk into that store. And I'm not talking about needs, I'm talking about wants. Because for many people, for many of us, it's a matter of wants and not a matter of needs. And we know this because as Muslims, we are perhaps the most aware community of some of the hardships affecting other people locally and many of our brothers and sisters and family members around the world in different countries. We are aware of that. We're aware that some people don't have even a roof over their heads and some people don't have water that's guaranteed for that next week. We're aware that some people are literally using water tanks, clean water, for 1 week, 1 month at a time until somebody from America, Canada, somewhere else is donating that $20, $30, $40 so they can have access to clean water. We're aware of that. We're aware that some people have electricity for an hour or two a day and the rest of the day it's cut off. There's no AC, there's nothing else. And for some people, there is no electricity. We're aware there are many homeless people around the world who would wish to have some of the things that we throw away, some of the food that our children and some of the parents throw away as well. We're aware of that. That for many people, the waste that we have here is enough to take care of an entire kingdom. The waste that we have in America, especially as Muslims, in which for most Muslim Americans, they are living at least at the average or above average in terms of their income. We're aware of how much is wasted. We're aware of how much food gets thrown away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us grateful for the blessings that we have. that you want and desire something new, and immediately you throw away the old. Rather than recycling, rather than donating, rather than finding someone to utilize to give that amount to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us from ever wasting, even water. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by a companion who was making wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what is this excess, this waste, going above and beyond what is necessary? What is this excess? And the companion, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, is there excess with water in wudu? Is there such a thing as wasting water when you're making wudu? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, even if you are on the banks of a flowing river. Meaning even if you had as much water as you needed, and you were in a river, on the banks of a river, yes, there is such thing as excess in wudu. SubhanAllah, you would think back then that that example would be beneficial for that companion in one way. And yet for us 1,000 years later, 1,400 years later, it's relevant to us with our current systems and our current infrastructure and so on and so forth, and how we waste and utilize water. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever wasting a drop of water, even while you are making wudu, brushing your teeth, taking a bath. Yes, there is excess in that as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, all of the descendants of Adam until the end of times, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا. Basically, wear your nice clothes when you go to the masajid and whenever you're in a state of worship. Eat and drink. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا. So that is from the blessings of Allah in this world, that you are given food and drink. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. But do not waste. Do not go above and beyond. Do not waste. Do not go above and beyond what you need. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like al-musrifin. When you ask, what is it that I can do so that Allah will love me? We have examples. Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin, al-muttaqin, al-muqsitin, and so on and so forth. Allah does not love those who waste. Do not be amongst those who waste. Do not, for our children, show and teach and exemplify a lifestyle of easily throwing away food like it's not a problem. Of easily wasting things like it's not a big deal. Of ordering more than you need, buying more than you actually need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and forgive us. Allahumma ameen. Number two. After emphasizing not wasting, we emphasize another principle here, which is something as simple as our treatment and our perspective on plants, on trees, on gardens, and so on and so forth, preserving them, protecting them in certain ways, and utilizing them in other places around the world in different ways. Something as simple as planting a tree or planting something in general. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who plants a tree or sows a field, and then a human, bird, or animal eats from it or benefits from it in some way, it will be considered as a charity from him or for her. What does this mean? A simple act of worship that provides benefit and oxygen, as well as we know today, and many other things, is something that continues as a sadaqah jariyah. And the believer, in more than 16 variations of the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the believer is likened to the palm tree for the benefits that we give to the world around us. And for the ongoing steadfastness as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from this reminder. Allahumma ameen. Number three is to also recognize the nations of animals. Does this mean that Muslims are vegans and we believe it's haram to eat meat and so on and so forth? Absolutely not. And anyone who makes such a claim is trying to reform something that is Quranic in terms of the maxims. However, there are guidelines. However, there are changes in some societies that will and should cause us to step back and think about the way that we are consuming certain things, about the way that we are treating certain things, about the dangers and harms of other things. As of today, humans are consuming more than the earth actually has. Meaning what? We are over-consuming. And this doesn't mean the earth doesn't have enough. It means that we are over-consuming and wasting as well. Even animals, when we think of them, and the pets that you may have, or your neighbors may have, or your children may have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to all living beings on earth, and even the birds that fly as well. إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. They are nations like you. They are nations like you. And of course, we know they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways we don't understand. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحًا. We don't fully understand how they glorify in terms of the language, how they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, four, and the last point here. It's important for all of us to recognize that there is an amana, a responsibility upon every one of our shoulders, old and young. People think, once again, that single bottle of water or plastic bag, that single change you made in your home, What's this going to do when we think of all the harms and dangers at the political level? Meaning what? The fact that certain things are even legal. The fact that there are companies, corporations that have billions of dollars in the fossil fuel industry that are buying out politicians and judges and people of all at all levels, federal and state in different states. This is known that they're bought out and they're causing damage in a way that we think individually we cannot change. And there's a course of action for that as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expect us individually, that your act of good is necessarily the single act that changed everything or stopped everything. But preventing some harm is better than not preventing any harm at all. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands us to stop harm, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ, there should not be any harm nor reciprocating of harm, it doesn't mean that if you're only going to make a 0.01% chance of change, that you should not do anything at all. Because if everyone thought like that, then nothing will change. And if you thought like that, then you would be part of the problem that's taking place. Rather, look at what it is that you can do. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Be mindful of Allah to your greatest capacity. What can you change in your home, for your family, for the organizations that you work with or can volunteer or suggest to? We can say, number one, discuss, if you will and if you have not before, discuss with your family, with your children, the importance of this topic. Preserving the earth is preserving, potentially, and protecting future generations as well. It is part of our faith. The rights of the environment is a part of Islam. Now, if you want to get into the deeper details of what those rights are, obviously it's a longer discussion. But the rights of the environment in general are rights that we care about. And there are approximately 25% of the world's population, approximately 2 billion Muslims in the world. That means that if we alone, and we should be at the forefront, if we alone all took that individual responsibility to the highest standard, we would see clear changes in society. If it's something that we became more educated about and our communities were more involved in terms of awareness, in terms of actions, yes, we would see changes in the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all part of that process of change and improvement. Allahumma ameen. If you live with family members, talk about what it is you can change within your home. Research, do some research online. What are some things you can change within your home so that you are disposing of things in a better way, recycling things in a better way, utilizing things in a better way, conserving and so on and so forth, rather than wasting? What is it that we can do when it comes to our food habits? Are we throwing away any morsel of food? Are we buying so much food that some of it is spoiling? And as a result, somebody was prevented from that $5, $10, $50 every time that we bought food. And I know that this may seem insignificant to some people, but wallahi, that $50 for some people is food for an entire month. We're talking here about a ni'mah, a blessing that Allah gave us, that if you stop being grateful for it, you should worry that that blessing will not remain. And the one who is grateful for it does not waste it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us grateful. Number two, depending on where you live, and especially for us here in Michigan, it's important for us to always be aware of, politically, to be aware of certain candidates and their views on the environment, their views on this one value of many other things as well that matter to us, so that we are changing things at the structural level. If you want to affect change at a societal level, we have to look beyond just the family and beyond the individual unit. Look at and study and understand who it is that's bought out by the fossil fuel industry with billions of dollars. And this is not some conspiracy. This is the reality. This is what's been exposed in the last 20, 30 years. Look at who is bought out, who's causing more damage to our environments and our future generations and the earth and all the extreme events that we are experiencing. And look at who's not. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to being more involved in that process of change. And finally, number three, reach out to your local organizations. And yes, I will voluntarily say, starting with the masjid here and the masajid that are around you, starting with Islamic schools that your children go to, or even the public schools that they go to, starting with the place that you work at, there is nothing embarrassing about reaching out and asking, what are some of the policies in place that will make us, inshallah ta'ala, that will cause this organization or institution to preserve the environment more and be a little more cautious in how we do certain things. I understand, and I say this first and foremost about myself, we're talking here about things that we are accustomed to, things that are not always easy to change, things that oftentimes a person will say are insignificant to change, or why are you making a big deal out of something like the environment or the way that we're drinking or eating certain foods? It's not that big of an impact. It's not that big of a deal. But if we don't think it's important and we don't take action, we're not solving the problem. We're not doing what we can possibly do. And the command of Allah is clear. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Do your best. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for taking that step and that action and educating other people as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are preserving all the blessings that we have in this world and protecting future generations from the harm that is caused during our times. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and forgive us. Ask Him for forgiveness. He is the ever merciful, the oft forgiving. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Remember, if you will, that 500 years from now, if there is still a civilization on earth, 500 years from now, our actions will have ripple effects. 50 years, 100 years, 200 years. And every one of us has our own life mission and life journey and life experiences and our own stories, our own decisions that we make on a daily basis. All I ask of my community here is for us to be a little more aware, to make other people a little more aware about the Islamic perspective on preserving our earth and preserving our societies and preserving future generations as well. Because one of the greatest risks that, yes, will affect the lives of potentially millions of people in the future is how we treat the earth. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all of us to the actions that are best and not necessarily the most convenient. Because it is difficult to make certain changes when you're accustomed to them. And again, I say that about myself first and foremost. It is difficult. And some things are easier, no doubt. But what's easier is not necessarily always what's best. And we know this as Muslims. What's easier is not necessarily what's best in every situation. So focus on what is true, what is best, what is right. And ask Allah to guide you, your family, your community, your local organizations as you advise them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us and make us part of the process of solving some of the world's problems. And rather than sitting on the sidelines and critiquing everything else that's happening, we are doing something in this one facet of change. And in addition to this, I remind those who came in later today that yes, there are many important topics we can cover and we will cover every Jumu'ah, but this is one topic that's under-addressed in our communities, and it's beyond time, it's long overdue.